Here's a question for you. How much electricity did you use last month? That's not how much did you pay on your electric bill, but how much electric power did you use? Ben Porter is sitting in the kitchen with his wife, Kelly, and their two kids, looking at the family electric bill.
It was 600 last month, 700 in July. Middle of the winter, it's down to 400.
Ben deals with numbers all day long at work. He's a banker. But the numbers he's citing now aren't dollars, they're kilowatt hours per month. That's how your electric utility company measures what you use. The family is trying to use less. Kelly explains.
We switched to gas heat and the on-demand gas water heater last winter.
Yeah.
And we're switching to a gas stove soon. So we're trying to get rid of these energy hogs as much as we can.
In the United States, the total energy consumption in homes has remained relatively stable for many years, despite an increase in the number and average size of homes. That's because a boom in demand has been largely offset by increases in efficiency. Modern homes are better insulated, new light bulbs use lower wattage. But for many people, just holding steady in energy use isn't doing enough. The Porters, in addition to improving their efficiency with better appliances, also take the green electricity option on their bill.
I think it's, on average, maybe $10 more a month.
Yeah.
At this point, we can't buy a Prius, put on solar panels, all those other things that are good to do. So this is our little way of contributing and trying to lessen our footprint.
For the 10 or so extra dollars that Ben and Kelly pay each month, their electric utility agrees to offset 100% of their household kilowatt hours with energy drawn from renewable resources, a combination of solar, wind, hydro, and landfill gas recapture. As a young family, they found a simple and affordable way to reduce their impact in the interest of helping the environment. Not many miles away, in East Falmouth, Don Mallinson also has been counting his kilowatt hours, but he's taking a different approach. Instead of trying to jettison his electrical appliances, he's filled his house with them.
Everything in the house is electric. Hot water, heating, air conditioning, washer, dryers, cooking. Everything is electric because I generate electricity.
All of the electricity Mallinson uses to power his home comes from 24 solar panels on his roof. His house is what's called net zero, which means each year he's creating more electricity than he can use. Walking around the outside, he points out features that make his house especially efficient. Triple-paned casement windows, foot-thick walls, the asymmetrical roof, even the way the house is situated on the property.
Most houses are oriented to the road. My house is oriented to the sun. So I don't care where the road is relative to the location of the house.
Asked if all this means he's off the grid, Mallinson laughs and explains that he needs the power grid, and the grid needs him. In the summer, when he's producing surplus electricity, his power is helping to meet the increased demand region-wide, as many people run air conditioners and dehumidifiers. In the winter, short days and the low angle of the sun mean for a few months he's producing less electricity than he uses. Then he's drawing on the grid for the surplus credit he made during the summer. To really live off the grid, a person has to produce and store their own electricity. In Wellfleet, Chuck Cole has been doing that since the mid-1980s. He leads the way through woods to where his battery is plugged into a single solar panel. He bends down to check how it's charging.
It's only making 1 amp, but even on a cloudy day, it's making 1 amp, and that's something. But on a sunny day, it'll be making 5-6 amps.
This awareness of how much energy your daily life requires in real numbers is a common thread for people trying to lessen their environmental impact. But for Cole, it's even more critical. For his daily electrical use, he doesn't have a fallback. He lives in a series of small structures in the woods. He heats them with wood. Managing his electricity means shuffling around 55-pound batteries.
So I basically have deep-cycle marine batteries with handles on them. So I have one here that feeds this and that structure over there, that yurt. I can put on a light at night.
Because Cole doesn't want to cut down any trees, he's dependent on bringing the batteries one at a time to the solar panel that's about 100 yards up a trail. In the winter, he hauls the heavy batteries over the snow on a sled. In the summer, he'll push them in an old baby carriage.
When the light goes out, I go up and switch the battery out.
he's made this choice to live simply. And that means he has to know intimately what his daily energy impact is in a way that few of us do.
If I was really serious about it, I'd put in more solar panels and cut down trees. But I don't have to because I'm not using that much. I mean, that's the freedom I end up with.
That's the freedom I end up with, he says, going on up the trail. It must be a sign of progress that when it comes to energy use, there are so many ways to lessen your impact on the environment. For WCAI, I'm Steve Junker.